This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help curveball.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nick's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live, was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on here.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
The summer wind.
All right, welcome back in 105 on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, or 106, depending on which clock I'm looking at is right.
Feels like the summer wind's kind of blowing in today before our big snowstorm hits on Monday.
Is that official?
Local weather guys are now predicting, I believe, 1 to 2 inches Sunday night into Monday.
Okay.
And snow flurries into the day Monday.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's supposed to warm up to like 37, 38.
Yeah.
So it's probably just going to be messy commutes, but nothing that's going to stick and stay from what we...
So won't get Monday off.
No.
Well, you never know. There's always a chance.
I just need a couple idiots to be real dumb on the road, and that's probably going to do it for me.
There's always a chance. We do have to remember, these are weathermen.
That's true.
They're
1 to 2 inches could be 8 to 10 inches.
Yeah, that happened. Wasn't that the snow? The big one we got, what was that, 2 years ago, I want to say. And I feel like they predicted kind of a, maybe a little dusting, but nothing too big. And then we got like a foot of snow overnight.
I don't remember what year it was, but I do know there was one like that, that they had said, oh, yeah, get a little bit of snow, and it dumped on us.
I will also give you credit, Sprague Stradamus,
if
that's how I would say it. You, I believe, a couple of weeks ago on this show, said, do you think February is going to be snowy?
Yeah.
And I said, nah, man, we're through winter. Don't worry about it. We got sunshine out. We're good.
No, because I feel like the last couple years, the way this whole climate is.
El Nino.
Our weather's just changing now. So in February, even though January was pretty good to us, not much rain.
We've had
cloudy.
8 straight days of no traceable rain.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love this.
It's been great.
I just had a bad feeling because this is usually what gets people sucked in. People like Jason Swigart who go, oh, I'm going to wear shorts now. And then the snow shows up in February like, no, 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 you're not.
Come on, man. It's golf season. Let's go.
You're a little ways away from May, bud.
Pitchers and catchers are reporting soon, right? Spring is right around the corner. Let's plant the garden this weekend.
One final note on that Porzingis deal. If you're just tuning in, by the way, welcome in. If you missed the first hour, you can catch it. Really good stuff from Steve Hartman in San Diego. He was fired up about Bryce Harper.
People had some really funny texts at the Better You Today text line, too.
What would they text?
Just, this guy's depressing. God, tell us how you really feel. We've had back-to-back fired up dudes on the ticker, and I love it.
I find it odd. Portland, in this regard, I find it odd that when people are fired up on a sports opinion or topic, we have listeners that genuinely think it's like depressing to hear or the person is angry.
We're more of a casual city, man.
I know we are, but I would just tell a lot of those people, you should listen to radio in almost 99% of the other cities in America. That's pretty normal.
People screaming at each other.
Like you won't find a lot of laid back radio shows. And even the most laid back of shows, they have moments where they're fired up on topics. Steve Hartman, obviously pretty fired up on Bryce Harper and how overrated he is.
His points on Harper, I think, are valid. It's one of the reasons why teams have been hesitant to sign him. I mean, the guy has had really one dominant year in the big leagues.
Right.
He's young. That's what makes him unique with other free agents.
He's
25, I believe. Most guys, and we were going to get into the MLB free agency thing yesterday or the day before, but most guys don't, like, you know how old JD Martinez was when he hit free agency last year?
29, 30.
30. 30 years old.
Yeah.
And that's why teams are usually hesitant to hand out those 7-8 year deals because you're going to be 37, 38 by the time it plays out. That's what's unique about Harper. He's only 25 years old, but some of the numbers are not, they don't jump off the page at you.
You know, how many players, though, can you name right now, Dirt, that are worth 7 to 8 deals and or 8 year deals? And I don't even care how old they are. That's, I don't understand why hockey
not many
and baseball does that to themselves.
That long of a contract.
Like hockey, I've seen hockey give goaltenders crazy like 12-year deals, and I'm like, why?
That's a long time.
Why do that? Just do four. Yeah.
Well, you don't have those max contracts like you do in the NBA. The NBA is all it's player driven. Well, baseball players control it to some certain extent as well, but NBA players and the dominance they have in that regard of controlling the years, the amount, where they want to sign, where they want to go, it is really a player's league.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other part too, is there's no way, and I take this back to almost 2 years ago when the Bryce Harper $400 million Yankee stuff came out. First time I read that, I actually legitimately chuckled.
Like, are you kidding
and
me?
And then I had to read and listen how everybody thought that was going to be really how much money he makes. I can't wait to see what the number is, but the idea that any team would want to pay Bryce Harper $400 million for a below 300 hitter, I never made sense to me.
Well, and the delay in them signing in free agency tells me you have not had one of those teams throw a crazy offer at
him. If he had a $300 million deal, wouldn't he have taken it by now?
I think he probably would have.
So I'm almost wondering if teams are just saying, we'll give you $250, that's the max. Yeah. And he's just like, God, he's hoping and he's waiting out some other teams.
It's a combo of you feel bad for some of the players that get frozen out in free agency because that happens, but also I do tip my cap to some teams for being smart enough to not do it. There's not many, as you mentioned, there's not many contracts that are worth, not many players that are worth that amount of money. And one example I point to, look, the story is still to be finished, and we don't know how it's going to go the rest of the way. But the last big-time contract like that handed out was Giancarlo Stanton. He was in Miami with some talent around him. They never really won anything. He had a ton of home runs and put butts in the seats. Really exciting player.
Right.
But there was not a lot of total successes in terms of team wins. He goes to New York last year. And look, offense and hitting home runs wasn't their issue as a team. But they made the ALCS the year before he got there. Last year, they couldn't get out of the divisional round, and they lost to Boston. I want to say, what was it, in four games? So you look at some of these contracts, and you wonder, can you quantify backing it up with actual wins and losses? Bryce Harper is a dominant baseball player and has been at times in his career. He's never won a postseason series, and he has loads of talent around him in Washington, and that tells a little bit of the story.
Yeah, Aaron tweeted us at Dirt and Sprague. I think the Islanders are still paying their goalie Rick Pietro on a 20-year deal. That might have been one of the guys I saw years ago, and I was like, what the hell would you do that for?
Yeah, the only guy, as the listener points out, the only guy I'm willing to give a deal like that to as of right now is Mike Trout.
Right.
Mike Trout, you can take every penny of my money, and I'll give you a 30-year deal. I don't care. He's that good and that consistent. I would give it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually is backing it up with numbers and stuff. Which one would you rather sign, Machado or Harper? Same number. I don't care what the number is. Which one would you rather sign?
Harper.
Really? Is it Machado? It's got to be close, though. Isn't Machado's production better at bat?
He is. He has more production. I think he's been a more consistent player. That's an attitude thing for me. I'm old school. And watch, now saying that, probably the Giants will end up signing Machado, and I'll have to accept him. But I'm an attitude guy. He doesn't hustle. The little stuff that he does on and off the field,
right?
Not a fan of it.
I wanted to get to this and got interrupted. P1 Cody, I just saw the Twitter notice that as well. We dove into Harper talk. It is official to me that I'm seeing from Woj, the Kristaps Porzingis deal is going to go through. I think the league office just needs to approve it. Kristaps Porzingis is in the Western Conference in Dallas. And to make things worse, I think in the West, because Portland, just like every other team today, realizing this deal is happening in the Western Conference, Kristaps Porzingis has informed Dallas he will sign his restricted free agency contract offer with the Mavericks. He is not going anywhere. So New York traded him to Dallas, and he wants to be a loyal guy. He wants to be in New York. He's going to get a contract offer for a ton of money, and he is going to be playing with Luka Doncic, assuming he can stay healthy for years to come.
I tweeted it out. I didn't think I'd get halfway through the day and be incredibly jealous of another Western Conference team, and I am. Tim Hardaway Jr. makes a lot of money, but he's an okay player. They got rid of a couple of bad contracts. They had no use of Dennis Smith Jr. anyways. Luka Doncic, to me, has been one of the more enjoyable rookies to watch that I can remember in a long time. He's taken the league by storm, and the numbers he's putting up, it's just a ton of fun. He is the clear-cut rookie of the year, and he's only going to continue to get better. On top of that, he's a youngster as well. So you add Porzingis to that mix if he's able to stay healthy. That not only is a fun team to watch with those two guys, you think about the international aspect of both of them being foreign players, playing in Dallas. It's going to be a free agent destination because of the tax rates that exist in the city. They're going to be able to lure somebody else to go play with them. It's a dream setup for the Dallas Mavericks. I think they hit a home run today.
Yeah, this might be the day Knicks fans become Nets fans.
Jump off that wagon, man.
Also, that's got to be a pretty exciting moment in Dallas. I know that is a heavy Cowboy city, and I get where NBA ranks for a lot of towns like that. That's got to be a pretty exciting feeling knowing you got Kristaps Porzingis with Luka Doncic for our next handful of years. And if he stays healthy, to me, that's a combo that will win. But that's going to be an if he can stay healthy.
Just another team you're going to have to hurdle in the future in the Western Conference.
Another team in Portland's way.
Yay, Portland.
Well, you know you're at least going to have to battle them now, for sure.
Yeah, you for sure will. And, you know, on top of that, somebody had a good point on Twitter about, you just think about bridging the gap. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki is the face of that organization. He won a title there within the last decade. This is his farewell tour. He's retiring at the end of the season, and they're going to go from the end of the Dirk Nowitzki era to handing it off to Doncic and Porzingis.
Which they already have, because Doncic said
they've already handed
year.
It to yeah. Doncic, yeah, and then you have Porzingis into that spot next year. Buckle up.
All right, coming up next, the transfer portal in college is maybe not such a good thing. One head coach suggests so. We'll get to that next on The Fan. As it's everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one rip, rip, drop there. All right, welcome back in. The transfer. I keep saying that name, that word wrong all day.
Transfer portal. Where's Bumblebee? Wasn't that the yellow car in Transformers?
Yes.
They came out with his own movie. He's like a star now. He got a spinoff, I saw.
He's the cute, funny one.
Ah, okay.
Anyways, the portal in college football has been a big topic of conversation. A lot of big names have gone into it. Programs are trying to build with transfer kids.
Got to hit the portal.
And Butch Davis, I did not know where Butch Davis was before I read this story. He is at Mario Cristobal's former stomping grounds, FIU.
FIU.
He is the Panthers head coach. And the Miami Herald was talking with him, and they talked about the transfer portal because he has added a running back, offensive guard, linebacker, and defensive back from it, trying to build on the fly. And this is what Butch Davis had to say, quote, "I think every coach in America supports grad transfers. If a kid comes to your program and he gets his diploma, he should have the opportunity, if he wants to continue to play collegiately, to go anywhere he wants. The thing that more people are a little bit against is the portal. And this is the sad thing. There are going to be a lot of kids who are heartbroken. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. In the 1st of January, there were 1,400 kids who hit the portal. In the middle of January, there were 1,700. Now there are close to 2,000 players. There are only 350 scholarships available. So where are all those other kids going to go? They left a scholarship thinking they were going to get a scholarship. Now they are on the street thinking, uh-oh, now they can't go back," end quote. Now, I am very pro-player in college topics. This is one where Butch Davis has hit the nail on the head, and I can't believe this isn't a bigger story. I didn't know it was up to 2,000, and that is a scary thing to think about for a lot of players who probably got bad advice, left because they couldn't start,
mm-hmm.
and just thought, I'll go somewhere else and play. Now, you still have community college options and whatnot, but a lot of these kids didn't probably plan to go that route and thought they'd go to other universities.
I'm curious where his 350 scholarship number comes from. Does that mean there's only 350 scholarships open in all of college football right now? That was the confusing part of the quote with me that I didn't quite understand.
Maybe that's what he knows, is how many are available.
How would he know how many scholarships are available at every school that can offer a football scholarship?
Well, my only thought is right. There's something with coaches where they get an idea of how many are free.
Right, and maybe there is. And look, I think he's on to something here. This is a process, though, that just is going to have to flush out the issues. There's always unintended consequences with things. They open up this transfer portal, and it's not a shock to me at all that it has been probably overly used in the first offseason it's been available. Now, it should be noted, there's a lot of these guys, they're going to go to smaller schools. They just want it out. Connor Blount's a good example of that. I believe, where's he going? Eastern Kentucky?
Yeah.
I think I saw the Oregon State quarterback. He's going to be third or fourth string, whatever. He's going to Eastern Kentucky. He's not going to a big-time program or going somewhere in the Big 12. He's going to a lower level to play right away and get some experience. I think, look, you're just going to have to give this some time in order for kids to realize that maybe jumping into the transfer portal first thing at the first sign of trouble isn't the right move. This is eventually going to figure itself out. But in the long run, there's no doubt in my mind that this is a positive for college football. When you have a system that allows coaches to leave freely whenever they want to go, and you lock players in or make them sit out an entire year, It's ridiculous. Grad transfers should be able to go, and if you play less than four games the year prior, you should be able to transfer freely to whatever school you want to play for. I think there's a lot of guys, you go somewhere, either you don't like the coaching staff, or maybe the assistant coach that recruited you left, or you get in there and you see the depth chart and you realize, man, there's guys that are younger than me that are better, I'm not going to play. I just want to play college football. I only have 4 years of eligibility. I have no problem with those guys wanting to leave. I think it's just going to take a while to flush out the system in order for kids to realize you don't have to transfer at the first sign of trouble.
Should they change the amount can be in the portal? Yes or no?
No. I don't think so.
So you don't think this is
how do you
be
limit it then? So you just then you would have a rush for everybody to transfer to be one of the first number of kids to jump into the portal.
Right, but let's look at the kids who did transfer, right? The Tate Martells, the Justin Fields, the bigger names that are going to go to programs.
Kelly Bryant to Missouri.
Right. They're probably going to succeed. They're probably going to go to these programs and we're assuming succeed because, well, they were really talented coming out of school. Things just didn't break their way for college, right? So now they get a chance. If they are to succeed, how many more players view that and go, oh, I can succeed too if I get a fresh restart?
And maybe that's the way it goes.
And I think so. It goes from 3,000 to, or goes from 2,000 to 3,000.
I don't have a problem with that. The kids deciding to transfer, that's their mistake. If you can't land on your feet and you can't find another job, you shouldn't have transferred. I don't feel any sympathy there. I think the kid should have the ability to make the decision. If he's not happy where he is and he wants to transfer out of that program, he should have the ability to do so.
Right.
And if there's a surplus of kids and there's not enough scholarships, then beware. And for every positive story about look at that transfer working out for this player or that player, if that is the case and it happens, there's going to be plenty of horror stories out there about guys who transferred, couldn't find a landing spot, no program wanted them, right? There was nowhere for them to go, and it didn't work out for them. Right? You're going to have both sides of the coin where it's a positive and it's a negative, just like it is when kids sign. Some kids sign, they love it. They play for their coach. They get some playing time. They don't transfer. They play all 4 years and they leave. Where other kids go, you have four coaches in 4 years or three coordinators in 4 years, and you want out, and it's a disastrous experience. It's the same thing.
I've talked about this with Nemec before of kids who choose universities where there's no clear-cut opportunity to play. Like Justin Fields going to Georgia, I know he thought he'd be the starter because he was the number one overall quarterback player, whatever. But Fromm steps in and has success. How do you not view that and go, oh, there's other people ahead of me that are better right now, I won't play? These kids are committing to schools when there's not a starting spot for them. And then they're surprised when they don't start, and then they're transferring. I almost just wonder if you set it at a certain number and you're basically telling the kids who don't file right away, wait it out. Now, I see where you're coming from. Let the kid make their own decision. That's no different than my college experience or yours.
If you didn't
we weren't college athletes, but if I chose to leave a job because I thought I'd get another job and I didn't get it,
sure.
Guess what? I screwed myself. I can go beg for my old job back, but that wasn't always a given.
Or if you hated it in Corvallis, you were free to leave. You were free to transfer wherever you wanted to go.
Or if I signed up for a class, you know, whatever the case, we all had to go through experiences where we made bad decisions or decisions we wish we could take back. But a lot of these kids, I think it goes to the other point. How many of them are just rushing to judgment of, oh, I got to transfer, I'm not playing this year, versus if I wait one season, I'll be the starter. Or I'll have a great chance to start.
I think a lot of this, too, will put pressure back on college coaches and coordinators to not mislead kids. I think that is some of the problem here. If you're telling kids that they can come in and compete for a starting job right away, or they're going to get playing time right away, and that's just simply not the case, and then they get in and they realize that there's no path for them to play in the foreseeable future, like maybe this changes recruiting tactics away, and you don't have guys selling a bill of goods to an 18-year-old kid to try and get them to commit to their university just to have a little more depth or another player at that position. Maybe it cleans up the recruiting business a little bit of just having more honesty out there, and then kids won't be looking to transfer right away.
Right. All right, we'll dive back into the NBA conversation because the other name we haven't brought up is the Anthony Davis. There's an update on that one where he potentially could be headed. Crunch time is just around the corner as well. And then we've got our NFL picks. We've got some Super Bowl trivia. We'll get to all of that ahead.
Hey, RIP Tony Joe White. I think he just died a couple of weeks ago.
Did he?
I think so. Good little swamp rap, huh? For your Thursday afternoon. Welcome back in 1:34.
You know, I love this Porzingis trade stuff and everybody's takes on it because you have one of two ways. You could be with most people and say, that seems like a poor trade for a Kristaps Porzingis. But then, of course, you've got to have people that go the other way to be the contrarian.
That's right. What and a deal. What a smart deal.
Incredibly smart. They freed up cap space. Well, I'll tell you right now, if you don't sign Kevin Durant in New York, this is going to go down as one of the worst trades of all time. If you do not land your two big coveted max players and they go, you know what, one wants to stay in Boston, I'll be here long term. The other one goes, you know what, I love Golden State. We just won another championship.
Why would I leave?
This is going to look like a complete waste.
We'll find out this offseason, the final grade on that Porzingis trade. We'll get back into that more in the final hour of the show. If you're just joining us, that is the breaking news of the day. Kristaps Porzingis told the Knicks, what was it, last night or this morning, they essentially had a meeting. Him and his brother, who is his agent, that went to the Knicks brass and said, yeah, we want out. We don't want to be here anymore. And I would say within 2 hours of that news being announced of the meeting, he was traded to Dallas.
Yeah, they got on it quick.
It was an immediate trade. Dennis Smith Jr., Wes Matthews, some other big contracts going back to New York. Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee also involved in the deal going back to Dallas. So Porzingis is no longer a New York Knick, and I know Blazer fans have had a rough time with that news. The other big NBA headline lately has been Anthony Davis, obviously, and Woj had a nice little piece on it this morning, and he's kind of edited it as the day has gone on. But if you woke up this morning and you read the original long piece, the first Woj bomb of the day, the headline of it was that New Orleans kept getting calls from Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM. They were not returning his phone calls.
No, they were.
You know what? Now screw you, man.
F you button.
We're hanging up on that bad boy. But after the initial report, he has amended the story that they have finally called the Lakers back and they are in dialogue now and they will talk again before the trade deadline. There is an interesting note in there about how the Spurs had that similar kind of mindset with Kawhi, that the Lakers kept calling him and trying to get Kawhi last offseason, and the Spurs just outright refused to trade him to the L.A. Lakers. Mm-hmm. They were not going to do it. The Spurs say that's not true, but people involved say,
crap, yeah, that right. was true.
So they end up sending him to Toronto instead. But essentially, this dives into, one, the conundrum that the New Orleans Pelicans are in. They took him out of the hype video last night, if you saw that.
They said that was an accident, by the way.
Sure it was.
Alvin Gentry's like, I didn't even know who's in the hype video.
Right. Alvin Gentry also said, I don't know if he's going to play for us again in a New Orleans uniform again because he's been banged up. He took his team out to dinner the other night, but that's got to be an awkward situation. He clearly wants out. New Orleans is trying to figure out what to do here. They want to wait till Boston's available in the offseason, but the Lakers, as of the latest report, have offered Kuzma, Ball, Wiggins.
No, Ingram.
Ingram, excuse me. I don't know why I said Wiggins. Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, some random dude I've never heard of.
Zubac.
And a first-round pick.
Yes.
For Anthony Davis.
That's one of five options they've given him. Magic had five trade scenarios for the team for them to think about. Look, I think a way to get through this Anthony Davis stuff, because everybody knows he wants to be a Laker, including himself. You've already been fined for what they did in announcing his intentions. Just go in deeper. Like, say, screw it. All right, NBA, hit me with a $250,000 fine. We're going to pay that off, no problem. Just come out and say, we only want to go to the Lakers, and I'm not signing with anybody. And I would take it even a step further. And Rich Paul, I read a story about Rich Paul this morning. He might be the guy to do this because he comes from the LeBron camp. He's got experience at an agency before he started Clutch with LeBron, even though LeBron's technically not a co-operator owner of it, because that'd be illegal. He really kind of discovered his niche of he's a player's agent, and he wants the players to have all the power, all the money, et cetera, and he'll play hardball, and he doesn't care if you don't want to play. That's how he operates. Rich Paul should just come out and say, Anthony Davis will not even show up or play for your team if you trade for him, unless it's the Lakers. That not only puts the Pelicans in a corner of, thanks, appreciate that. That gets your way. If this is all about being a Laker.
How bad would the tampering charges get at that point?
Who cares?
Though?
Who cares? Well, who cares? Like, if you're going to get fined $100,000.
Is there anything more the NBA could do on top of that, though, if you came out and made a demand like that?
Well, the tampering stuff, how would you have proof that there's tampering on LA's end? You're not going to get anything proved from LeBron. And Magic and Rob Pelinka have done exactly what they were supposed to do. They made the phone call to New Orleans. They have not been public in expressing any other things to a media outlet. So how do you tie tampering in on it? You could fine Rich Paul as an agent and be really upset about it. But I'm just saying, if they want to make this about the Lakers or bust, there's a way to do it, and they haven't done that yet. And if they do it, then it's going to happen by the deadline. If they don't, then we'll see what happens with Boston and Kyrie and whether he gives Boston a legit chance. But today it feels like it's only L.A., and there's a way to do this by just expressing that's the team you want to play for, nobody else. Why would another team jump in at that point?
Well, and the interesting part about it, too, is there's a lot of pressure on L.A. because if they don't execute a trade, whether it's now with the deadline or this offseason, there's a chance that Anthony Davis doesn't end up in Los Angeles until LeBron's 18th season. Like, LeBron, at least up until this point in his career, has been healthy, and he's like Tom Brady. He keeps fighting off Father Time somehow, some way, with all the games that he's played. But at some point, LeBron is no longer going to be the player of old, right? Like, at some point, he's going to break down. Not saying it's this year, not saying it's next year, but if you don't get him at the deadline and you can't get him this offseason, you have to wait until he hits free agency. Even if he wants to play in L.A. that badly, that there's no doubt he's going to sign there. It's his 18th season. And LeBron's up there in age at that point by the time he gets to L.A., and who knows what kind of talent else you'll have on the roster. They also have to figure out the financials of it, because then next season they'd essentially have to punt on the year to make sure you keep that max salary spot available for Anthony Davis, and it changes all your plans. So I think there's a lot of pressure on L.A. to go do this, and I wonder how much Anthony Davis worries about his perception around the league with something like that. Like, if his agent comes out and makes a statement like that and says he's not going to play for any other team, he refuses to, that's not a good look for your perception. Like, I think so far he's won the public PR battle in this, because people get, it's New Orleans, nobody cares, team sucks. Like, we get why he wants out. It's not a shock to anybody. But if you go on the route of refusing to play for any other team, I think the public turns against you. And I don't know if that matters to him or not. Kevin Durant's dealt with it the last couple of years. But I do think the public would turn against him and say, give me a break, man. You can't make a demand like that.
I don't think you care.
Yeah.
If you're them, I do not think you care. I think you try to just get what you want to happen and then live with it. You want to be in LA, you want to play with LeBron, go do it. You want to wait for Boston in the summertime, you've got that option. And by the way, I'd be preferring him go to Boston, because as annoying as it is that Boston yet again would be winning more things in sports, because who knows, the Patriots are going to win. Do you want Anthony Davis and LeBron James for the next 2 to 3 years in the West? I sure as hell don't. So, you know, I'm always looking at this from my Portland angle, and even if I'm frustrated with where the Blazers are at and how they're probably not a legit contender to even get to the Western Conference Finals, I always look at it from, well, do you want that in your way? And that's a huge hell no, Bob. I'd like to pass over that and get him to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, if he finds a way into L.A., you have Anthony Davis and LeBron in the Western Conference this year, obviously going forward as well. You would have Doncic and Porzingis now in Dallas going forward in the West. What Houston still has put together, what Golden State still has put together, Paul George and Russell Westbrook. I mean, just the gauntlet's going to get that much more difficult if he sticks in the Western Conference. We'll see what they decide, but that was the latest from Woj this morning, and he's made some edits to the story as the day has gone on. But essentially this morning, the Pelicans were not returning the Lakers' phone calls. They have since done so, and they're in talks now. Magic has offered basically anything they want outside of LeBron, whatever combination of players they want in return for Anthony Davis. We'll see if the Pelicans have that Spurs stance and say, we're not doing a deal no matter what with LA.
Yeah.
But then you have to swallow the awkward pill here, because if that's the case, you're essentially, because Boston's not going to get, they can't get into it until the offseason. I don't think anybody else has the assets to jump in before the deadline that will compete with what LA, with that young core that I just mentioned, plus a draft pick or Boston. So if he doesn't go to L.A., I think you wait until the offseason, and how awkward is that going to be the rest of the year?
Did you read Sam Amick's report?
I didn't know.
So Sam Amick wrote on The Athletic about the Anthony Davis stuff. He just dove in with sources and wrote a huge piece on it. At the very bottom, Portland, one of the three dark horse teams, doesn't detail what they'd be willing to give up or how legitimate it is, but he did it too.
Yeah.
He said it's L.A., it's Boston. And then I think, what were the couple others? I think Portland was in the dark horse category. Who was another one? It was Portland. Oh, Toronto.
Toronto, yeah, with Kawhi.
And there was one more, and I'm blank. I can look it up. Okay. But he had Portland as like one of the three dark horse teams, but he doesn't really elaborate much other than putting them in the category.
You got to try and capitalize. If they have an anti-Laker stance, no matter what, we're just not going to do it and not going to give him what he wants to go to L.A., maybe the door opens a little bit for you before the deadline, because once you get to the offseason, you can't compete with what Boston
I don't
has
know
to offer.
If we've ever had a player with this kind of control in the league, by the way. If he gets Davis, LeBron.
He runs the entire, he's the commissioner of the league, man.
Like, Jordan had a lot of power, obviously, but yep. To run the league, I mean, obviously you see what the Spurs and how they felt about it. If he gets Davis, that's remarkable.
Unbelievable. So we'll keep you updated on that one. Another person quoting Portland as a dark horse to acquire Davis.
Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah. So there you go. Anthony Davis still in New Orleans for the time being. Let's get back into that Porzingis trade. That was the kind of the bombshell that came out about an hour ago. He goes to Dallas. We'll give you the details on it. Also, what's the reaction from Blazer fans to a big trade happening? Doesn't take a lot to get Porzingis. How does that make Rip City feel? We'll get into that crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Did we make it today?
We did.
Woohoo!
Let's go! Nice job!
I mean, we will after the show.
Oh.
Yeah, I ain't having that. You what? Got me, I ain't having that.
I'm going today. What do I get that for?
That gets an I ain't having that from Mario. Mario's not pleased.
No days off.
Well, he might not take the day off.
I'm not taking a day off.
If he makes it. Swigard made it yesterday.
Walks one damn mile and suddenly he's the judge of workouts.
11:09, baby.
Let's see you stamp out 12 minutes there, big boy. Take that shirt off.
Is that like a request? Do you really want to take...
I just know anytime you go running slash walking, you're taking the shirt off.
Let's keep our clothes on, people. We still have an hour and 10 minutes.
Did Swag just admit he wants to see me naked?
I think so.
I think that's what we got, right?
This is my fear of him accomplishing the mile in under 12. It's a boost to the old
There might be
workout
some
ego.
Sort of thing, you know, a series here.
Right.
You know, Swag's... sort of impressive feats of...
Your next one is swimming across this damn river.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Here.
Well, we got to make sure there's no significant river traffic, and I will need somebody in a boat to be going...
We'll get you a dinghy.
I have a kayak.
Okay.
It's a two-seater, too, so if you needed it...
You can pull him up.
Or he could just hold on, and we can row right back to the shore.
But no,
he allowed to rest while swimming?
No,
like,
I need
can you get halfway
need to
and
keep
take a
moving.
Breather?
Now, the question is, can I flip over on my back and kind of, like, backstroke for a little bit?
Yeah, as long as you're moving,
as long
I think
as
it's
I'm
okay.
still moving.
However you get across is whatever for me. I don't care.
No, I think part of it is need to be consistently moving.
You can't climb into the kayak halfway and
drink
a beer.
No, can't, like, pull up Bob there
no,
or anything.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. I'm with you there. It's got to be. Now, I might flip over on the back.
Okay.
You know, if the arms doing the crawl need a little rest, or we need to work the other muscles the other way. But
what's the outfit here? Are we wearing like a Borat Speedo?
No, that ain't happening.
He's gonna be like Ben Stiller.
Well, depending on when we do it, I might need a wetsuit.
We just gotta.
That water doesn't completely warm up until
we'll do summer.
We've had 2 weeks of 90 degree heat in July.
That's a good summer challenge for us.
Yeah.
If we can come up with any other athletic feats, we'll have to think of it for Swigard to attempt.
Because
that was fun yesterday watching him walk the mile.
Yeah,
sort of mildly impressive feats of strength. Whatever.
Sure. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mildly impressive is well put.
Exactly.
Does your stance, though, change on the 12-minute pace of a half marathon?
I still think if you're running.
If running, that would have been a lot easier than walking it.
Well,
yeah.
That's a slow jog.
Very slow
jog. To do 11 minutes.
But that is a slow jog.
Okay. Sorry I did change gears on you. I just saw somebody sent me a text of a post from Inside USC, and I want to read this real quick. We'll get to Porzingis in the final hour. By the way, NFL picks coming up top of the hour, and I have Super Bowl trivia at 2:15.
I'm intrigued by your Super Bowl trivia.
Well, I think you guys will be able to get most. It's not like super complex stuff. I just want to have fun reminiscing about Super Bowl stats.
Look at the NBA, by the way, that has taken over the last 2 days during Super Bowl week.
So I'm just going to read this real quick, and then you guys can react to it, okay?
All right.
This comes from, let me read it again, Scott Wolf of you know Scott Wolf?
You've guessed many times on Primetime.
Okay. Graham Harrell obviously signed on as the offense coordinator at USC. He wrote a recent blog for his Inside USC website, and this is what he wrote. Before Graham Harrell officially sets up in Cliff Kingsbury's old office, here are some things he should know. There's a bunch of bullet points here. Number one, does he know that three of the four team captains asked Clay Helton to start Jack Sears over JT Daniels, and Helton responded to them by saying, "My hands are tied."
Wait. Three of the four team captains asked
Clay Helton to start Jack Sears over JT Daniels. Helton responded, "My hands are tied. Don't worry, I'm just getting started."
This is for next year.
I think this past. No, this is all
no,
from this past season.
No, this is during
season.
The past wow. season.
Continuing. Does he know that T. Martin tried to discipline a starting wide receiver during the 2017 USC-UCLA game by taking him out and Clay Helton overruled him? Does he know a player took off his uniform before the 2018 USC-Notre Dame game because he was so upset he wasn't going to start and he refused to play?
Wow.
Does he know the refs at the 2018 USC-Notre Dame game was told Helton had to tell Helton at least twice during the game there were not enough men on the field for special teams plays? hey, coach, you only got 10 out there, coach.
Clay, we can't flag you
Clay,
for this every
you need another
play.
One. Don't worry, there's three more. Does he know two football staff members, not coaches, were disciplined for appearing to be drunk on the sideline during games?
Was Sarkisian era?
I was say. Does Sarkisian have brothers?
Does he know a USC player told an assistant coach that he would beat him up on the sideline of the 2018 USC-UCLA game because the coach reprimanded the player for committing a penalty?
Mm.
Last but not least, does he know Clay Helton secretly called plays while maintaining T. Martin called every play?
Well, I think we all knew that, right?
Yeah.
Especially at the end there because he took that title away.
So in case you're wondering, things are going really good at UCLA.
Look, Clay Helton needs to go. Like, that's not a surprise.
Well, I think the biggest question is, does Lynn Swann know all these things?
I think Lynn Swann does know these things.
As an athletic director, I would hope. If an inside USC blogger is getting this kind of stuff.
But you have to take that job if you're Graham Harrell.
Sure you do.
Because if you look good, despite if they're not great as a team.
That's true. But
that's
going
to be good for your resume.
Also, we all kind of agree that Clay Helton's going to get fired next year, right?
Right. Yeah, I would pen that
Graham Harrell's not going to be the next head coach.
Nope.
So usually new head coaches bring in a new offensive coordinator.
What if they are first or second in the conference in total offense?
I have no confidence that'll happen, but.
But if it does, guess who's getting a big job after USC?
Sure, he could get picked up by somewhere
else.
They
certainly always seem to have talent to be productive offensively.
Yeah.
I don't think it's impossible for them to be out there.
Amazing.
I mean,
isn't that crazy?
I didn't know the Jack Sears, JT Daniels thing. That
might
be the bigger
one. Three of the team
one.
Captains went to him and said, "We want Sears to start." And Helton responded, "My hands are tied."
What does that even mean?
What does that mean? You're the head coach.
Is it because he took JT Daniels in?
That's my biggest question with Lynn Swann. Like, is there something going on with boosters or something above the scenes that said he's going to start?
We're paying this guy so much money to come to play at UCLA. You better start his ass.
Well, how good is Jack Sears, too, by the way? The players are like, hey, he should start.
Right. Maybe they're seeing something different in practice, saying this guy's better. I mean, JT Daniels showed flashes last year, but he's a true freshman. I mean, there were some lumps in that season.
But we'll see if he can build upon it.
I saw that. A buddy just texted that to me. That's wild stuff. So things are going good at USC. So, hey, go Pac-12. There's a positive story for you.
Jack Sears, OSU. Is that what we're
reporting?
2020?
Is he going to come compete with Jebbia? Him and Jebbia want to compete?
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
Bring him in, baby.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll get back into the Porzingis deal because we didn't do it there. I have a story that I saw about strippers in the Super Bowl I would like to discuss. We have Super Bowl trivia to get to, and I promise it'll be fun. We'll have some fun with that coming up at 2:15. But, hey, it's a Thursday, and it's almost 2. That means it is time for the final edition, for the last time, the Pro Football Challenge. And I went through the numbers. I did the research before the show. Where do we all stand going into the final game of the season?
I don't do a ton of research.
I will tell you the numbers. We'll give you the listener leader, and we'll make our picks for the Super Bowl to start the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.